Fortunately, among the many Gospels that we have for Easter, this is an option that I'm allowed to choose. So I'm glad to share Emmaus with you. It's one of my favorite Gospels of Jesus walking along with us when we are downcast. He's with us in the times that we do not recognize him, and how we long to be one of these two disciples walking along the road to Emmaus while Jesus not only explains the scriptures about his life, but talks about our life with him as well. It's an image of the last day of our lives when Jesus will explain everything that's been going on in the world, in the scriptures, and in your life. And it's an exciting thing. When I was young, in elementary school, I was really interested in astronomy. I don't know why that was, but I read every book in the school library on astronomy. Looking back at it now at my age, I realized we knew almost nothing about the planets that I was reading about. Now we know so much. We've seen pictures of all of them. In those days, not even the moon had been visited yet. And that's how old I am, I guess. don't add the years, please. And, you know, it's still exciting to me, all these scientific discoveries. One of the things I was thinking about this week is how, in the second reading, you know, St. Paul talks about, but you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ. But when we see Christ, he gives us another perspective on things. We will die and rise with him. Today, in this century, and at the end of the last century, are the only times that people have ever been able to see the earth from space. You know, even the ancient Egyptians, and it is said that some of the Greeks had intuited that the world was round. One of them even got the circumference of the earth correct. How they did that in ancient times, I do not know. But we have seen the earth from space. And one of the things that astronauts and cosmonauts alike have said over and over again, and from pictures we can kind of get the idea, but none of us have been up there. If you have, please see me after Mass. How fragile the earth looks, how impossibly small it all is. You look at the biosphere that we live in, it's a narrow strip of atmosphere on really an enormous planet, and all of it it's a biological machine designed to keep us in life, that God has arranged all of this. Yes, there are scientific explanations for everything. God has laws and rules. Even in heaven, there are laws and rules. The laws of nature, all of this for our benefit. All of human history, all that we've done is on this narrow strip that surrounds the earth, where we live and die on this lateral line that's curved just a little bit to our perception. But in reality, things are quite different, aren't they? The universe is vast, and as far as we know, even having discovered something like 500 planets now, exoplanets outside the solar system, this is still the only place in the universe that we know of that we can live. Isn't it amazing? And the Lord God is the owner of it all. He's the landlord. We are tenants. We're here for a little while. Why are we here? To discover the meaning of life. We are like these two guys. Actually, I don't know if they're men or women, do we? There are two people walking back on the road to Emmaus. We don't know where Emmaus is. Archaeologists have not been able to find it. And that's a good thing, because Emmaus is every man, every woman's heart. It's our home. We're going home. The disciples are downcast. They've been with Jesus for some part of the 3 years he taught. They were in the upper room with Jesus. These aren't apostles, but they're other very significant people. They were in the locked room with the disciples when Mary Magdalene came running in and said, "We've seen a vision of angels, but we haven't seen Jesus." And the angel, this appeared to be a young man, but they knew he was an angel somehow. And he said, "He's risen." And they came back with this tale. They said, "A tale." They didn't believe it. And so after all of this, they're going home and they're downcast, they're depressed. How many of us have been through this? We have a high moment, like I told them last night at the Easter Vigil. We come into the church and then we wonder where Jesus has gone. He's disappeared from our lives. Something really hard happens. And there we are. We're walking along the road. And here comes Jesus. He walks up beside them. They don't know who he is. This stranger catches up to them. See, they're walking very slow. It's a 7-mile journey, we think, and they're walking very slow. It's going to take them the whole day to get there. Jesus appears from nowhere. He says to them, "What are you talking about?" And they say, "Are you the only person in Jerusalem that doesn't know what's going on?" Well, guess what? He's the only person that does know what's going on. You can see Jesus kind of smiling. Now, how dumb they must have felt when this conversation was over with. Notice how Jesus is not to be recognized. These people lived with him for 3 years. Does he look that and sound that different? Maybe he does. But the reality is, you're not going to see Jesus in the flesh until the coming of Christ on the last day of your life or the end of the world. He's always going to be in disguise. Always, always, always. He will walk beside you. And many times, he's walking beside each one of us today on Easter Sunday and saying, "Have hope. The world is filled with misery and difficulties. There's Christians in the world today that were thrown out of their churches and they're exiles in a foreign land. I pray for them today. They are one with us. We have a beautiful new church. These people were thrown out of theirs. That's the mystery of life. I want to walk with Christ and say, why do these things happen?" And you'll say to me, "Gary, they happened to me. They may happen to you. Do you love me?" You see, we are all the downcast disciples walking along the road to Emmaus. And Jesus feigns ignorance. And when we pray to him, he says, "What happened to you today?" And we say, "Lord, don't you know you're God?" He says, "Tell me about it." We talk with him about our lives. And Jesus explains all the scriptures. Who wouldn't want to be in this part right now? He also explains all the ways he's been with us in our lives, especially the tough parts. We're going to have this conversation on the last day of our lives. Why not have it now? Ask Jesus, "Where have you been in my life? Where did I see you?" Notice they saw a vision of an angel. This looked like a young man. He didn't look like an angel. You've seen angels, you just didn't know it. They're leading us to Christ, but leaving us free to make a choice. We live on this narrow strip of earth. It's designed to make a choice for God. We can't see what's really going on. But in our faith, God pulls us out, if you forgive the metaphor, like an astronaut coming into space to say, "I want you to see where you really live. I want you to invite you one day, now in faith, someday in reality, to sit with the creator of the world at his table, which is outside the universe and all around us, to sit and have a meal with him." That's what Mass is. We're already anticipating that. There's a beautiful, beautiful vision of St. Julian of Norwich. She was an English mystic. She had all these wonderful images. I'm surprised she's not a doctor of the church. And she had this vision, and Jesus was standing there holding what looked like a filbert. She must have been an Oregonian, don't you think? She called it a hazelnut, so that tells you she's not from Oregon. It's the same thing. And so she's holding this filbert in her hand. Somebody told me after the last Mass, there's a St. Filbert. Anybody heard of St. Filbert? He was a little nuts. Sorry, St. Filbert. Sorry, it's the drugs. He's holding a filbert. We've all seen these things. Go up to Willamette Mission Park, they're all over the ground out there. Whenever I see one, I think of her. And she asks him, "Lord," remember, she's in a vision now. She says, "What is that you're holding in your hand?" And he said, "Julian, this is all that there is. This is the universe." You know, I think when the scientists finally figure out how big the universe is, it's going to look like a filbert. But imagine for a moment, the Creator is inviting you to the place where the universe will be in the palm of his hands. Think of how small we are, and yet how great God was to enter into that universe, become a human being, die for us, so that we would have faith in him. But he's not going to show himself as he is until the last day of our lives. Yet, there are signs and wonders constantly being invited, but in a subtle way. All of people on earth, through the events of the world, through science, to have this incredible vision of how things are scientifically, but how blind we are if we don't recognize the maker of it all. Jesus walks with us throughout our lives, and in those moments when we are downcast, which come to all of us, He reminds us of the things that have taken place in these days. This whole gospel is really the Mass. There's all kinds of hidden signs in it. The breaking of bread was the euphemism for the Eucharist in the early church. And the two recounted what had taken place on the way. Christianity was known as the way prior to St. Paul when they became known as Christians. And the beginning of Mass is where Jesus is talking with them. He reads the scriptures to them and then interprets them. That's the homily. They invite him in. He feigns that he's going on. They have charity and bring him in. That's the offertory. We offer something to God. Then they have the breaking of the bread. They still don't know who he is. And notice the words that they say. You know, we at the consecration of Mass, we use all three Gospels, Last Supper accounts, but also 1 Corinthians, which talks about the early Mass that they were doing. But we especially use these words. They should sound familiar to us. And it happened that, listen, while he was at table, I'm going to use these words today at the Mass, he took the bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. With that, their eyes were opened, and he disappears from their sight. Where did he go? Who can tell me where he went? You've heard this before. Karen knows. He went into the bread, and he disappeared from their sight to be hidden from then on in the Eucharist, in the Word of God, in coincidences, in the people we meet, in the world around us. From then on, he will be hidden from our sight. And they go away excited. The service ends, and they go off with their hearts burning within them, and they can't wait to tell others. So we just pray that as we walk through life, that Jesus will walk with us, that we will always understand that we are loved, that Christ invites us but hides. He invites and he hides. Through the down and the up, Christ is with us. We have to go through these things like Christ did. He says to us, and he will say on the last day of our lives, we'll say, where were you, Lord, in these parts of our lives? And he'll say to us, oh, how foolish you are. Don't you understand that I was with you every day of your lives? Don't you understand that I loved you? Don't you understand that I died and rose for you? Don't you understand that you had to go through these things like me in order to rise from the dead? We pray that God will open our eyes and our hearts, you know, the tough times and the good, the mistakes we made, and the joys of life. Christ is with us in them all. Amen.